Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Hump Day is here, and it is time for another episode of the Voice of Indie blog podcast. This is episode number 190. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me over there sorting out the drying paint is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How's that paint coming, Mr. Jeeves? Is it drying?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Couldn't get my microphone to work, so I'm having to reset everything up here, reboot, and everything. But, hey, we're going to have a show tonight anyway. We've got a cool
guest. We are.
We've got some cool commercials to run, so, hey, all is good. How about you?
Having a good time, a bit cold up here. We are expecting a lot of snow on Friday, and it's odd because it was just 74 here a couple weeks ago, and now we got the, but it's just Michigan. It's a reminder that it's still winter, and but next week we're looking at the 50s, so hopefully by the time we meet here again next Wednesday, we will have some warm weather and sunshine and all that good stuff, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, one night last week, I got a late-night phone call from Peter Frampton saying, man, you won't believe who came to see me tonight. Who was that?
That was me. Yeah, I went up to the casino up in Mount Pleasant, saw Peter Frampton. I just posted one of the videos. I took a couple of videos. I didn't take a bunch of videos, but I took two videos of the show. I put one of them up already. It's on my YouTube channel. That's Beam Weeks. Just type in Beam Weeks and you should be able to find it. And it's a cool video. It's already got like 500 views and I just put it up yesterday. So cool on that. But a good time, man. It had a blast. Went there with my older brother and he hasn't been to as many concerts as I have, but he's been to about 10 or 12 of them. And he proclaimed that this Frampton show was the best concert he's seen. I mean, Peter puts on a great show. And the thing of it is some people might not know, is that Peter Frampton in 2019 did a farewell finale tour because he was diagnosed with a neurological disorder. And he was told that within a matter of, you know, a year or so, he would be unable to play music anymore. He would be in a wheelchair and blah, blah, blah. And here we are going on 5 years later, and he's can't stand anymore for durations, but he comes out, sits in the chair, and his hands still work. He can still play. His voice still works. He can still sing, and he's got a killer band behind him that sit down with him on stage, and he puts on a 2.5-hour show and just rocked the casino, rocked that sold-out crowd, and a good time was had by all. So
yeah, what a point to be at in his career. What they're doing is they're extending this tour 5 shows at a time. They do 5, they book them, sell the tickets, hold the shows a few weeks later, and then see how we all feeling. You want to do 5 more? And then they book the next 5.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So keep going, Peter. Every time you come around, I'll come see you.
Yeah.
All right. So our latest book published here by Fresh Ink Group is Jan Sykes's A Beggar's Bargain. And we're watching the numbers really shoot up on Amazon. We'll have some more detailed information about that next week. Check the newsletter. But we'll have to see if it got very high on our print bestseller list tonight as well. But that's A Beggar's Bargain, which is book one of the Bargainers series by Jan Sykes. And that's out there shooting up the charts right now. So check it out.
Yeah. And the second and third Orc Chronicles by Robert G. Williscroft are out. Ran, A Lost Civilization, and Keyed, A Hidden Civilization are both out and available now. And speaking of Robert G. Williscroft, he's got a comment here on Twitter. He says, spring equinox was yesterday. And yes, indeed. If you want to be a part of the show and drop a little comment like Mr. Williscroft did there on Twitter, or you want to call in and have a comment or a question for tonight's guest, we've got ways that you can do that. Here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Inked Group on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right.
And speaking of Equinox, he mentioned Spring Equinox, or Equinox as some people call it. Equinox is my favorite album from Styx, the band Styx. Came out in 1974, and that, you know, just a great album. Man. I had this discussion with my brother here last weekend while we're on our way to the concert, talking about favorite albums and whatnot, and that album popped up. Styx popped up because they're playing up there at the casino here in a couple months, I guess. All right.
So we're working on a bunch of new books. One we've got coming out probably about 2 or 3 weeks from now, Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography. And this is by Angie Birmingham, who's also known as WTF Stop, as in What the F Stop. That book will be ready pretty soon here. She's a wildlife photographer. In fact, we're hustling to get some stuff done this week because a week from now, she's leaving for Costa Rica.
Woo-hoo.
She's got a rough life. She'll be down there taking pictures of birds. We look through some of the pictures she's done, and it's just totally awesome. And I'm not even a teenager, and I'm going to use the word awesome. But it's real cool. And I've got a 14-year-old grandson who's a fan of hers, too. And he's been tagging me for the past few months to pick him up and take him out so he can do photography of decrepit buildings that are falling down around Alabama. And he's been checking her book out, learning from her as well, too. So we're working on a couple of photo books coming out here soon. Watch for Angie Birmingham's Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography.
All right. And I'm seeing over here on Twitter, Robert G. Williscroft says, you got my books backwards. It's Rand, A Civilization in Hiding, and Key to Lost Civilization. I read what's on the papers it's sent to me. So that's my excuse. And
yeah, that was a deliberate attempt to get Robert to clarify so we could say the titles twice.
Okay. And Verwang Greenhouse says, good evening. We are a little late because we were sitting outside watching the sun go down. We are looking forward to the show. Well, sitting outside while I'm talking about freezing weather, that's not a good thing. But, you know, rub it in, Verwang, down there in Florida. All right. So we've also got another one coming out here before too long. As a matter of fact, we're probably getting ready to set this to the next step. That's A Light in the Darkness, Words of Encouragement and Poetry by Tina Reese. And Tina is a mentally handicapped woman who attends my church. And I'm kind of doing this, and Stephen's doing this for as a favor to her. And so these are just some nice little words of encouragement and poems that she's put together over the years. And it's not going to be a number one bestseller, but it comes from her heart. And that's what counts. So
yeah, we'll
keep
settle
an eye
for
out.
Number three will be good.
Yeah. Number three, we'll take that.
Okay, another one that we just sent off to the layout team last night is Mr. President, I've Got Your Back, The First Ladies of South Carolina State University. And that's by Abigail Hugini and Mary L. Smalls, who are both former First Ladies of South Carolina State University. And this is it's a historical book. It's really cool. It's a historically black college for the most part. And it's got basically the stories behind the First Ladies going way, way, way back. I mean, we've got some old pictures I was trying to edit in order to get this thing together. It's very cool. Now, Abigail Hugini, as you might know, is the one who wrote There Must Be Something in the Water. And that was about the descendants of emancipated slaves in Green Pond, South Carolina, who went on to accomplish great and notable things. And she put together a whole book on that, which is cool. Now she's looking at First Ladies from South Carolina State. She's also working on doing a similar book for Alabama A&M University First Ladies as well. We really like working with Abigail. She's a cool lady. She's got great ideas. She's fun to work with. And she's putting out some very important books that will be part of history. So watch for that one. Mr. President, I've Got Your Back, The First Ladies of South Carolina State University.
All right. And another update on the myth. Is it real or is it legend? Is it something that's really going to happen? The King's Ransom audiobook, The King's Ransom Tales and Legends, Young Knights of the Round Table series by Cheryl Carpinello, I worked on that yesterday, and it's getting closer, and hopefully I got all the rereads back from Ethan Drew, our voice actor, and I put some of it together yesterday. Didn't get a chance to work on it today. I'll be working on it again tomorrow, and hopefully this is it. We can get this done and sent to her and get this approved, and it'll be available. It's one of those long-term projects, and I've said this before. Most of the audio books that we do at Fresh Ink Group, they go off without a hitch. We get these things done, and it's usually from start to finish, maybe 2 months. Sometimes it might go over a little, 2.5 months, but usually it's done by then. And this one's taken a lot longer. We started back in June, but there's been a few, bumps in the road. Cheryl, she's a perfectionist, and we're here to please the authors. So we took a little extra time, and hopefully she's going to be proud of the end product. So if you want to find out what else is coming out, we talk about all these new books we got coming out on this show. Well, we've got a newsletter, and this newsletter tells you everything that's going on in the Fresh Ink Group world, everything in the Voice of Indie podcast world, and all things indie publishing and indie writing. So get signed up, get subscribed, and here's how you can do all of that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
All right, so let's take a quick look at the top 25 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group that's going on this week. In the 25 slot, we've got the novel How to Paint an American by Andrew McGregor. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking at the next five slots, and in three of those five slots, we have How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business books. One is How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida, paperback edition. We've got the How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee, the hardcover edition. And we've got another of the Florida editions. This one's also in hardcover. What I'm not seeing here is, Georgia? No, Tennessee. Tennessee is the other book. So, yeah, that's five of those. And then we've got How to Teach Driving Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson. And this is the Instructor's Edition by Kenneth Lindquist. Now, as we move up our list, we've got a novel by Patricia A. Guthrie. Last week, we played the commercial for her novel, Legacy of Danger. Here it is, shooting up on the bestseller list this
week.
The Legacy of Danger by Patricia A. Guthrie. Yeah.
We play a commercial and it starts selling.
Yeah, there you
go.
You
too can advertise with us for $1.50 an hour.
Yep. Now, we've got a novel by Robert G. Willis-Croft. This one's Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Ork Chronicle. That's the first of four Ork Chronicles. And whether we say the names forward or backwards, they're all good books. So check those out. Above that, we've got J. Edge Looney's Who Said That? The Stories Behind Familiar Expressions. For readers, writers, word lovers, and trivia buffs, Fresh Ink Group explains whence come those phrases that color everyday speech. And that is selling fairly well in the United States and doing very well in India right now. Now, this brings us to Kanoi K's memoir, My Three Wishes, memoir of a Hawaiian dancer whose family troupe traveled the world. She's got lots of cool stories in there and a lot of fun pictures as well.
Cool people
now,
she met.
Now,
she met Beatles.
Beatles, yes, Beatles. If you go over and check out hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter, you will see earlier Robert McKenzie posted his note from Kathy Ireland about enjoying his first chair book. Good for you, Robert. And that book is now on our bestseller list this week, The Chair, Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, paperback edition by Robert McKenzie. That is the first of four chair books, and the fifth one is in progress right now. We're hoping to have that out by the end of the summer. This brings us back to Robert G. Willis-Croft and the Ork Chronicles again. Keyed, A Lost Civilization, the fourth Ork Chronicle, is next on our list, the paperback edition. Above that, David Carroll, I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. You don't like that book, do you, Beam?
Oh, I do. That's a funny book. Stephen and I, while the book was being put together, we were reading the manuscript and just laugh out loud. Seriously, I mean, it's those laugh out loud things. Fantastic book.
Yeah.
Funny book.
All right. Our next one is the hardcover edition of a memoir by a retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. And it's called Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. That's 60 chapters of memoir with all kinds of cool, interesting stories about the submariner life. Then above that, we've got two sassy books. Both of them, Sassy Discovers the AME Church, paperback and hardcover, are both selling precisely the same number of copies. Well, that's kind of cool. And now that brings us to, we're getting toward the top of the list here. The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, paperback edition. And who's that by, Beam?
That's by Mark Herndon, former drummer of the country music supergroup Alabama. So he played with them for 28 years, and he tells a great story. He doesn't, you know, pull any punches, but he takes the high road. He's nice about it. He's grateful for the opportunity that playing in that band gave him. So you want a good read? Check it out.
Yeah. Next above that, we have Dr. Helen Burrell's paperback edition of American Agony, the Opioid War, Opioid War Against Patients in Pain. That's definitely a cool book and certainly poignant to our times right now, so check that out. Now, above that, Dick Ferrer Jr.'s The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction. It's been 5 years since we put that book out, according to Dick, and he says that he's been getting all kinds of attention the past few weeks, people showing an interest in it again, asking for copies, and the bookstore in his town is wanting to order another 100. And so after 5 years, what I thought would be a small regional book about a construction company has turned into an ongoing Fresh Ink Group bestseller for 5 years now. Congratulations,
mm-hmm.
Dick.
Yeah.
Above that, Vladimir Kolitsky's Naked and Transparent, Six Vital Tools for Knowing Yourself and Attracting Healthy Relationships. That's prescriptive self-help relationship advice from counselor Vladimir Kolitsky. She's also a public speaker, and she does a lot of stuff around the Manhattan area. All right,
yeah.
And that gets us now into the stars. We've got six, our top six all have stars because there's a few ties in here. Starting at the number six slot, Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 Football Championship, paperback edition, and that's by Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports. He's a sports writer in Tennessee, and he's got all the behind-the-scenes information and a whole lot of cool pictures. For people who are into college football, this is definitely a collector's item and a good gift. Top five. We got one from David Carroll in the top five now here. You care to guess which one, Bean?
Hello, Chattanooga.
Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley. That's shooting back up again. That book's been out for 3 or 4 years now, and it just keeps bobbing in and out of that list.
Bobbing
now, top four, I was surprised to see this book in the top five last week. It's in the top four this week, and that's Mark Marlowe's Operation Counterpunch. That's a political thriller novel, and it's very cool. But we've had this out for a while now, so it's kind of fun to see when these books come back and get a bit of a surge in sales. It usually means the author's out there, you know, rattling cages and stirring things up. So congratulations, Mark. Operation Counterpunch is now in the number four slot.
You're saying it usually means the author's out there rattling cages, which is a good thing because authors, we've got to really get out there and promote our own work. But it also means that our social media guy Sam is on the ball because he puts the stuff I see Mark Marlowe's stuff all over the social media world, so I think that works too. So good on Sam, good job.
Yeah, we never stop at Fresh Ink Group. Even our oldest books that were published 15, 20 years ago, we're still out there every week promoting, plugging, putting them in social media, standing on the side of the room waving a book around trying to get drivers to look. Whatever it takes, yeah. All right, top three. Congratulations, Jan Sykes. And the number three slot is the paperback edition of your new release, A Beggar's Bargain, book one of the Bargainers series. So Jan Sykes, A Beggar's Bargain. Check it out. You can watch the trailer over on YouTube, or it's in today's newsletter as well. Top two. Our top two slots are precisely tied, the exact same number of sales. One of them, paperback edition of Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate. And the other one tends to be right up there trying to knock Submariner off that perch every week, and it's the hardcover collector's edition with a nice dust jacket of Mark Herndon's The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, his memoir about all those years. His memoir includes growing up, wanting to be a musician, how he got into the business, and then all those years out touring with Alabama, where he was not only their drummer, but he was their tour plane pilot as well. Yes, pilot. So check that book out and pick up a copy of Submariner. And if you know anybody who's interested in sea memoirs, submarines, U.S. Navy, any of those kinds of things, check out Jerry Pate's book and give him a copy. So congratulations, everybody.
Yeah. You mentioned Jan Sykes, her book getting in there. And Jan was our guest on the show last week. And if you didn't tune in live, you can find that episode in the archive, and you can find all of our episodes in the archives, and here are the various places that you can find the archives.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
A shocking proposal that changes everything. Desperate to honor his father's dying wish, Lakin Martin vows to do whatever it takes to save the family farm. Once the Army discharges him following World War II, Lakin returns to Missouri to find his legacy in shambles and in jeopardy. A foreclosure notice from the bank doubles the threat. He appeals to the local banker for more time, a chance to rebuild, plant, and harvest crops, and time to heal far away from the noise of bombs and gunfire. But the banker firmly denies his request. Now what? Then the banker makes an alternative proposition. Marry his unwanted daughter, Sarah Beth, in exchange for a 2-year extension. Out of options, money, and time, Lakin agrees to the bargain. Now he has 2 years to make a living off the land while he shares his life with a stranger. Read A Beggar's Bargain, Book 1 in the Bargainer series by best-selling author Jan Sykes. Available worldwide from multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. A Beggar's Bargain by Jan Sykes.
All right.
All right. So let's meet this week's guest. His name is Vincent Panettiere, and surprise, surprise, he's an author. Vincent Panettiere was not born in a trunk at the Princess Theater in Pocatello, Idaho, but in Brooklyn, New York. He graduated from St. John's University and went to graduate school at Boston University. After college, he became a sports writer for the wire service United Press International, known as UPI, and later wrote for the Boston Herald, a major daily newspaper in that city, before Rupert Murdochized it. After holding executive positions at Westinghouse Broadcasting, CBS, and Xerox, he moved to Los Angeles to pursue a career as a screenwriter. Four of his scripts were optioned, but not produced, one by 20th Century Fox and the others by now-defunct production companies. He became a licensed and bonded literary agent representing writers and directors in television and films. He made deals for writers and directors on TV series, including Xena, The Untouchables, and Babylon 5. He was also instrumental in the production of two independent feature films and the sale of numerous indie Movie of the Week film scripts. During the same time, Panettiere was certified by the Major League Baseball Players Association to serve as an agent for Major League and professional baseball players. Clients he represented played in the major leagues for the Boston Red Sox, St. Louis Cardinals, and Kansas City Royals. Objecting to the standard means of financing independent films, Panettiere sought non-traditional funding for his writer-director clients. His journey through the murky world of cyberspace was chronicled in his first book, The Internet Financing Illusion, published in 2007. Next, Panettiere turned to fiction. In A Woman to Blame, Panettiere created the character of Chicago police detective Mike Egan, who we're going to learn more about tonight. This was followed by These Thy Gifts, a second novel featuring Egan, The Scopus Factor, and his latest, The Music of Women. Side note here, These Thy Gifts, those of you who receive our newsletter, and if you don't, why not? Those of you who get our newsletter have an excerpt from These Thy Gifts and the cover and more information about that in today's newsletter, so go check that out too. So, Vincent Panettiere continues to live in Los Angeles, and he has eaten dinner in Pocatello, Idaho. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's kind of a new world for me, the podcast, but I think I'm adapting to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of new to us, too. So you were born in Brooklyn, and you live in Los Angeles. Did you live anywhere in between Brooklyn and L.A., and what originally brought you to L.A.?
Well, I went to graduate school in Boston, and I had an internship with Chrysler, when it was called Chrysler, in Detroit.
Ah, okay.
And that was like between the first and second year of graduate school. So I went back to New York, and my wife and I moved out here in 1979 because I wanted to, at that time it still is all the rage to be a screenwriter. And I thought, well, I'd written some scripts, and so we came out. And ultimately, these things happened. I sold something to Fox, and didn't get produced, and I sold some other treatments to other productions. And that's it. You know, that's the way it happens, and so you move on. And I did. And ultimately, I tried to raise financing, which was the subject of that first book, Internet Financing Illusion. The book represents a kind of after briefing of myself. What was I doing for 8 months going down this road? And, you know, it's a good book in that it's a cautionary tale, basically. You know, people say, well, if something feels too good to be true, it usually is. My question is why? You know, why does it always have to be, if it's too good to be true, it's not true? Why does that have to be? Why can't there be a day when what seems to be too good to be true turns out to be really true? Now, it makes me a lot like some prospector in the Klondike says that there's gold here, and of course spends all of his life trying to find it and never does. But anyhow, it was a good experience, and it allowed me to actually write a book, even though it wasn't a novel. So that takes the care of where did I live before and why did we come out here, and so here we are many years later.
Well, let's go back many years, back when you were a kid, before you did all this kind of stuff. What kind of kid were you? Were you into reading and writing? Did you envision any of this kind of interest in your future?
No, I did write. I wrote a short story when I was probably in high school at some point, and I sent it to the only outlets I knew at the time, which were ladies' magazines and the supermarket checkout counters. And I got back one just, you know, boilerplate saying, you know, thank you for your blah, blah, blah. But somebody else wrote me, there was a handwritten note that said something like, although you are young, and it was an encouraging note. And I think I kept it in my wallet for a long time until it probably disintegrated. But that was the first time I'd actually written something and tried to get it accepted. After that, I wrote in high school for the newspaper, and I wrote in college for the newspaper and for the literary magazine. So that took care of whatever writing I was doing at the time or wanted to do at the time. And then, of course, life intervenes, and you do things, and you get married, and we moved, and new jobs, and all that. And so finally, towards the end of the trail, I decided that I'd like to pick this up again. And what I did, which I encourage anybody out there listening to do, is there's this thing called NaNoWriMo. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
National Novel Writing Month, to write 50,000 words in 30 days. And I said, okay. And so I did. That really gave me a lot of courage and encouragement to do more. And then about a year or so, maybe it's more than that, but a year or so after I wrote, which I then published later, called The Music of Women. But a year or so after that, then I started out to take one of my scripts and turn it into a novel. And that was A Woman to Blame, which comes from a Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah.
And
Margaritaville.
So, yeah. So what the end of that says is, some people say it's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. And that's the context in the book of all the women who seem to get blamed for this or the other thing. And it's either Hegan's fault or it's somebody else's fault. But anyhow, I thought I was having fun with that. But people look at the title and say, what kind of a sexist are you? But it wasn't about that. It was about they get blamed, but they are blameless. And that's not the story. That's just like a subtext. The story is about a thoroughbred horse trainer who was found dead on the beach. She's found dead on the beach the same day that the horse she trained, who was the favorite in this race, finishes last and dies, has a heart attack and dies at the finish line. So the cops just say, well, it's a murder-suicide, which, of course, is ridiculous. But and then Hegan gets involved, and there we are. And it ends on a beach in the Caribbean with people getting shot and Hegan coming back to his girlfriend. But so that was that. But the book that I'm the proudest of and that I enjoyed writing, and I think I wrote it over at least a year, although I don't really know. I don't keep track of when I start these things, is the one I'll talk about tonight, or mainly talk about tonight, which is These Thy Gifts.
All right. Before we get into that, Vincent, we're going to have to check what's on Twitter and roll a couple of commercials here and keep the show moving along. And we'll be back in a bit. We're talking to Vincent Panettiere. And if you want to call in with a question or comment for Vincent, the number is 516-453-9902. So what's happening on Twitter, Beam?
Well, on Twitter, we have, Robert G. Willis Croft, he says, ha ha, I'm guessing that's a chuckle towards, hey, we just, messed up the titles of his books so we could say them twice. and then Verwayne Greenhow, he says, I got 30-plus Audible books, and I know well how the approval process works. It can take a while getting everything as close to perfect as possible. Yeah, Verwayne, that's not what we're talking about, the perfectionist side. All these the files I have they've cleared Audible, the ACX, they've got the clearance, but it's the author. That's the inflection on that word and the inflection on this one. This one's pronounced differently and it should be pronounced like this. Simple things like that, but there's a lot of them and they build up after a while, and And sometimes you just have to say, you know what, we just got to just push this through. And but yeah, I mean, we're past that the approval process with ACX and, you know, for Audible. We've mastered that. We don't have any issues with that. We got some cool stuff that we use that helps us in that area. But
yeah, in this case, we're dealing with a Hollywood actor who's literally a movie star and a YouTube influencer and got his own comedy channels and a bunch of other stuff too. So we're always trying to fit in when he can get back into the studio and do some rereads.
And that's another big one right there. Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully that'll be done. You know, everything's going smooth. So maybe, you know, in a month or so, but it'll be out there. But we are going to take a commercial break. And again, we are talking to Vincent Panettiere. And you can call in 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter, and we will see your comments.
Dave Hooker here, longtime Tennessee sports writer, and I know that true Tennessee fans are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the legendary 1998 Tennessee Volunteers Championship season. Tell you what, you celebrate 98, try to bring the full-color photos and detail of the transfer of power from Peyton Manning to Al Wilson, the preparation to win the first BCS National Championship, the locker room dynamics, and the challenges of a team rising above deep tragedy. Key plays include interception, a fumble maybe against Arkansas, and a bit of trickeration. Also, there's that Florida game. I analyze the leadership, the strategies, and the players' commitment to each other and share what we are still learning from this team even today. Discover what happened to those heroes of the gridiron and where they are now. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group, Celebrate 98 is available in all the digital forms, but you can also get your own soft cover or jacketed hardcover keepsake edition from booksellers worldwide. Want an autographed edition? Go to offthehooksports.com. That's offthehooksports.com, and I'll personalize it for you. Celebrate 98 is a collector's item and a cherished gift that belongs to all fans of college football and the Tennessee Volunteers.
Family secrets can be deadly. When Lisa visits her parents one fateful Saturday morning, she hugs her father and takes her suitcase to her childhood bedroom. The doorbell rings, and 1 minute later, her father lies dead on the floor, 3 bullets to the chest. The death of Eric Holmes sends shockwaves throughout the quiet neighborhood. But for the Holmes family, it's devastating. In this fast-paced psychological thriller, Lisa and her brother embark on a quest to solve the mystery of their father's murder. The journey takes them into a secret world where nothing is as it seems. Once the puzzle pieces begin to coalesce, they realize that their father had multiple lives. As the facts unravel, the siblings discover the true meaning of redemption. Gwen M. Plano's Redemption is available worldwide in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats. Published proudly by Fresh Ink Group. Redemption by Gwen M. Plano.
Available now. Get out and grab a copy.
All right. We're talking to Vincent Panettiere. He's a novelist and also has a nonfiction book out now. Vincent, you were about to tell us about These I Guess. Is that right?
Correct. After Woman to Blame, I wanted to test myself. And I wanted to write a story that covered 50 years. I don't know where that idea came from, but it did. So, coincidentally, but back in the early, I guess it was the Vietnam era, my mother spoke of a priest who was a friend of my father's, and he and my father used to swim in the East River. I mean, it makes you gag just thinking about it, but apparently in those days, which is the early part of the 1915 or something like that. And she always had a soft spot for him. She felt so badly that as a mother, this guy was sent from this parish to that parish and was always caught in some kind of turmoil. Anyhow, I used that as a kind of jumping off point, and I had this character who was a very young priest, but a social activist, and a guy who butted heads with the hierarchy every chance that he could get. And he ran a storefront church for immigrants. He helped immigrants with, and these are immigrants from Puerto Rico at those in those days. He helped them with their problems with the landlord. He got involved with his father in a strike of taxicab drivers. He was just involved in everything. And the hierarchy really was ticked off. So what they did, in a way to get rid of him and maybe teach him some humility, they sent him upstate New York to build a church where there had never been a church. And so he went out there and started building it and had some setbacks. One day, the frame of the church was torched while he was there looking out. He got burned. He got taken back to this place where he was living, which was provided for him. And anyhow, long and short of it is, a woman who was living there and he had a very brief interaction. Well, they had sex once, basically, rather covered up. It was out of need and out of hunger and out of all of the emotions that come when you're in a vulnerable time. And they both were vulnerable for different reasons. Excuse me. So that starts the story of Steve and Rosalie, who is the mother of his child. In the meantime, he's still a priest. She doesn't want him to leave because that's his vocation. He's still butting heads with the hierarchy. And on a whim, and for a good reason, you see, this book and other books I've written, there's always somebody who's atoning for somebody. And I don't, for something, I don't really know why I write those stories. And so this, he goes into the Army and he goes to Vietnam because one of his assignments was in the prison in New York where draft dodgers or draft card burners had been had been put. And he feels that was the next congregation for him, kids in the Army going to Vietnam. And he spends time in Vietnam. So I want to jump ahead to, he's on the verge of retirement, and he's given his own parish, and lo and behold, the specter of priest sexual abuse raises its head in his parish. And now he's come from a different time, and he's faced with having to do to take care of this priest and get rid of him, and that takes it all into a totally different last third of the book. So it's about atonement. It's about an activist, stubborn activist priest. There's a love story in it because he does have a daughter, and he doesn't have a wife, but he has a daughter, and he feels all of the tender feelings that a father would for a daughter, even though he's at a distance from her. So, I don't know. I like the book. I like it. I hope others like it. But I like it because it made me do something I hadn't done before. It made me map out a story of 50 years. And I did research on Vietnam and on. So that's These Thy Gifts.
All right. So that book is not one of your Hegan books, right? Your Detective Hegan is three other books?
No. The other Hegan book is The Scopus Factor. And the third Hegan book I'm writing now, and I have been writing for too long a time, because there's 10 chapters done, and I don't know what else. I'm planning on just eviscerating the story and starting in a different direction. But So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so your first Hegan book then is These Thy Gifts, and then the Scopus Factor, and then now you're working on the third one.
No. The first Hegan book is The Woman to Blame.
I got you. A Woman to Blame.
Scopus Factor. These Thy Gifts is totally different.
Okay. So what is the Scopus Factor about?
It's about art forgery. And there was a little-known Greek sculptor called Scopus, and I couldn't find anything about him in my old art history book. He apparently carved some friezes that were put in various temples, but in this book, he is supposed to have carved a sculpture of Athena, and that's missing. And so the bait is that the people who are trying to find the forgers have know where this is. And so that's where it starts. It starts in New York, and it goes to Nice in France and Antibes in France.
And then there's a kidnapping and two murders?
Yeah, there's... Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't remember all of it because, you know, I just write them. I mean, there's all of that, and I just think it turns out to be pretty good. But this one now, I just don't have a handle on it, so I'm not even going to talk about the third Hegan. The idea always was to have a trilogy, and so maybe at some point I will have a trilogy, and I can put that out on Amazon or someplace.
That would be cool.
Yeah. One other book. The book that I did for NaNoWriMo, The Woman to Blame, which I call subtitles, An Erotic Stream of Unconsciousness. It's about a guy in a coma who has all of his women in his life visit him. And he can tell there's a certain music that he hears when they visit him that he associates with each woman. Whether it's mother, sisters, aunts, and lovers, and old girlfriends, and his wife, and so I love that book because it's my erotic stream of unconsciousness. So,
Cool. All right, we are talking to Vincent Panettiere, author and raconteur. Phone number, if you want to call in, 516-453-9902. We're going to roll some commercials now.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie, the Chair series spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, and even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty, with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. Volume 4, Punt, Pass, and Kick, jumps forward with a gunboat battle, one courageous cattle drive, a suffragette in the ocean liner industry, a mysterious unpublished manuscript, and more. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic. But McKenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert McKenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
With good
jobs so hard to find, especially in rapidly expanding Florida, owning your own food truck could be the best option. It's the least expensive startup, and you can be fully operational in mere months. The rules and regulations can be a bit complex, and no single source has offered all the answers. Until now. How to start and run your own food truck business in Florida by food truck veteran A.K. Wingler is the step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Sure, it's hard work, but exciting, mobile, flexible, and highly profitable. And you get to be your own boss and set your own hours. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this book tells you how and where to make money in this exploding independent industry. Grab your copy in laminated hardcover, glossy softcover, or any of the major ebook formats at retailers worldwide. Even if you're just curious for now, this guide is the best way to discover if a food truck business is right for you.
Fresh Ink Group presents Slivers of Life by Beam Weeks, a collection of short stories. A girl's hunger won't wait. A woman's scorn takes matters into her own hands. Seeking peace by any means necessary. We pay attention when big events happen all at once, but everyday life comes at us in slivers. Two boys, a girl, and secrets in the woods. Young love falls short of the dream when the monster is someone we know. Secrets from the past mirror the tragedies of today, and a young man searches for his lost faith. Slivers of Life, a collection of short stories by Beam Weeks. Read Slivers of Life in print or ebook editions, including iBook, Kindle, Nook, and more. Slivers of Life is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Hi. So we are talking with Vincent Panettiere. And Vincent, you've got a novel called Shared Sorrows. What's this one about?
Okay, the thought I had was two strangers who come together, not knowing that they both have a secret and a sorrow that they ultimately don't share until later on in the book. My father died in October of 1966. On the way to the hospital and then to the morgue, the radio had a news flash about a whole, I don't know how many, 10 or 15 firemen who were fighting a fire, and the floor fell beneath them and they died. And that was the greatest loss of life in the New York City Fire Department until 9/11. And from that, I started thinking, you know, all those guys had families, they had kids. What happened to them? Did the kids, did the mothers remarry? Did they go to school? All that kind of thing. So the lead character is in the Knights of Columbus, and he's going to march in, I guess it was the Columbus Day at that time, parade. And they're marching up Fifth Avenue, and he's wearing his sword and his hat and all that. And he sees a guy running across Fifth Avenue. Now, it's not unusual for people to cross avenues in the middle of everything, just do what they want to do. But he sees the guy reach into his pocket and pull out a gun. And the gun is aimed at, I forget, it's probably the cardinal or somebody like that who was blessing the marchers. And so in an instant, a guy who's not used to being active or being a hero runs out, draws his sword, sticks the guy in the arm with his sword, and they both collapse onto the pavement. So the cops take both of them because obviously The one guy's a gun, the other guy stabbed him with a sword, and so they go to the emergency room because our hero has been kind of knocked about and banged his head and all that. In the emergency room, he meets a woman doctor who patches him up, who doesn't really care, doesn't take orders from anybody, and just tells the cop to wait until she's finished taking care of our guy. So ultimately, a friendship develops. Now, it's not a love story. He's married and he has kids. And ultimately, it's revealed that her father was one of the firemen who died the same day that my father died. His father died. And my father. If that's too confusing, I'm confused.
No, I get it.
So he also finds out that her brother died in 9/11. So there's two things that they have to deal with. And ultimately, he discovers that a student at the college where he teaches has been abused by one of the priests and ultimately has hung herself committing suicide. And that's basically the story, and how they work it out is the end of the story. But, you know, I guess you could figure out, I could write them, but I just can't talk about them that well. I don't make any notes. I have some notes, but I'd just rather people read it, you know?
Yeah.
Although
that's
I'm not
cool.
really selling it that well, but I, at least I feel I'm not selling it that well.
Well, I'm following along, so you're telling it well enough to keep me interested. So
yeah,
I think we got a pretty
intelligent
listening audience as well.
Okay. I'm glad.
Well, Vincent, let's talk about how you get your books out there in the public. When we talked the other day, you described some rather fun experiences with iUniverse and Author House, which also owns iUniverse.
And
but now now where have you gone that's better than that?
Well, no, I forgot to tell you the other one, CreateSpace.
Ah.
So
That's Amazon's.
The
others that you didn't mention were Trafford and Ex Libris. Those are the other ones owned by Author House.
I didn't do those, yeah. I just did Author House, CreateSpace, and iUniverse.
Well, where are you now?
BookBaby. And I have all the books are at BookBaby. They've all been the new ones go straight to BookBaby. The Woman to Blame and These Thy Gifts I took away from their publishers. Create Space, we didn't care. I think BookBaby has been pretty good to me, I think. And I've also had the same editor for all those books. And so it was a pretty good package.
Yeah, definitely. Now you said Create Space didn't care. Amazon cares about you. Never forget, Amazon cares about you. Bezos is up every night worrying about you.
Well, I know they do, and I feel secure knowing that they care about me.
Yeah, good luck with that, because they sure don't care about us. But you've had a bad experience with a publicity company, is that right?
I did. BookBaby put me in touch with the publicity company in New Jersey. I didn't have any experience. I simply just said to them, look, you know, I'm in California, you're in New Jersey. There's a 3-hour difference. So don't tell me that you don't know you can't add or subtract 3. I mean, that's the problem I find with a lot of people on the East Coast. And look, I lived on the East Coast for half of my life. It's not as if, you know, what I found was the magic. It was not, never mind. I get started. So we just, she got in a huff, and that was that. So fine. You know, excuse me, I'm the client. I'm going to pay the money. But rather than having some kind of business approach to things, you take it personally, fine. I don't, you know, go away. So I'll do it whatever I can myself.
All right.
I've gotten reviews all over outside of Amazon. And the only thing I haven't gotten was into a bookstore.
Yeah, well, I just looked on Amazon and Shared Sorrows has 28 five-star reviews.
Yeah,
they, five stars. So you can't argue with that, right?
No, I don't. No. I think those have been very good. I mean, they're on Amazon and Goodreads.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eastside Gifts has got great reviews on Amazon and other places as well.
Yeah, so you're making a you're making a connection with readers, and that's what counts. So that's
it
cool.
It does, It's not, but trying to get it in front of their eyes is the thing that, I guess you just can't tell. I mean, I look at book reviews in the papers every day, I don't know how many books they sell after that, if they sell any. It's not a science, really.
Yeah, yeah. There's no magic bullet for that. There's no formula. It's just I've read some of these indie authors that started the same way I did, probably started the same way you did, that sell their books sell in the tens of thousands of copies. It's like, all right, well, how can I do that? And
yeah,
and
exactly.
Even they don't have a formula either. It's just they caught something at a certain time, and that's what happens. It's boom.
Right.
It caught on. And now they've got a wide-ranging audience that comes and buys the next book.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
One of the things I'm kind of interested in, Vincent, is I'm a lifelong baseball fanatic. Haven't watched in the last five seasons because the Tigers, I'm a Detroit Tigers, lifelong Detroit Tigers fan for 50-plus years. And they've just stunk the last five or six seasons.
Going to be
I was
going
to say, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Hang in there, they're going to be better this year.
Yeah, they're looking like they might have
yeah.
an uptick here. But my question is, how did you get involved with being a baseball agent, and who are some of these players that you represented?
Well, I got involved I went in 1995. I went to the winter meetings that were held in Los Angeles, and I met a guy, and he was a manager of an independent baseball team. And eventually, I started finding some of the players on my own, and signed up with the Major League Baseball Players Association and became an agent, a certified agent for the MLBPA. And went to their meetings for years. Now, there's one guy who, a lot of my players started in independent ball, and that was looked down upon at some point, but every team or many teams have found players that they can add on to their minor league system or to the major league system from independent ball. And I found one guy who was playing in Indiana. I'm trying to remember all this because it goes back about over 20 years more. I think it was in Richmond, Indiana. And ultimately, I got him from there to the Red Sox organization. And he was sent to the Florida State League, became the MVP of the Florida State League, gradually ended up in AAA in Pawtucket at the time. And then went to, called up to the Red Sox up and down a couple of times. And then at the end of the year, they sold him to a Japanese team, and he got hurt, and that was that. And that's part of the problem, you know. Everybody, it's wonderful to see major leaguers, but behind every major leaguer, there are tons of players who never get very far. They get hurt or they just fade away. And it's, you know, people don't understand when you watch the game how many kids there are behind them. I used to look at rosters when I was an agent. Each year the Baseball America would print rosters of all of the minor league teams.
Uh-huh.
And you'd go from here to the next. And you'd say, what is it, West Michigan Whitecaps, is that the?
Yeah.
Instead of
Western Michigan. Yeah.
And you look at 1 year, and you look at the next year, and you'd say, okay, these guys were in A. Now, how many of them are on the double A team?
Yeah.
Very few. And then you'd see who's on the triple A team. Very few. Because triple A is a place that the major league teams go to bring up somebody when they need a replacement, when they need somebody gets hurt. Or the double A is where the prospects are. And so you want to see who's being promoted. We've had, a couple of guys. It was a catcher with Cincinnati who did very well. He was my client. He went to the Arizona Fall League, which is a way of showcasing them. But if you're a catcher, there is a catch. They need catchers to catch their pitching staff. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be promoted the next year. It just means they need a warm body. So there's all of that stuff. And ultimately, that was that for me.
Okay, very good.
Here I am talking to you, which is great.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask that because, like I said, I'm a lifelong baseball fanatic, and I know how those rosters go. I can tick off all kinds of players that the Tigers have had going back to 1972 that were up for a minute and then gone, and you never heard of them. Life is littered with that kind of.
Well, thing. Did you read lately? This is the latest with Ohtani. I don't know if you heard this or read this. His interpreter has been fired because he's been stealing from Ohtani and making illegal bets.
Yeah, I saw something about that earlier today, as a matter of fact. He was trending on X, and I saw something about that. Well,
that's
there
amazing.
You go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ohtani's fine, and they'll find another interpreter, and that'll all work out. But, I mean, baseball is, I think Joe Garagiola wrote in the book, baseball is a funny game, and it is in lots of ways. So, but this is the time of the year that I just can't wait to come around. Opening day is a holy day of obligation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Okay, we are going to run our final commercials here before we wrap things up. We are talking with Vincent Panettiere. And if you still have a little bit of time, listeners, if you want to call in with a last-second question, 516-453-9902.
Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Jerry Pate's semi-autobiographical collection of 60 stories recounts his 30 years in and around the U.S. Navy submarine fleet, ranging from lighthearted to wrenching. All are poignant inside looks at naval operations rarely seen by outsiders. Topics include the real story behind the shuttle Challenger tragedy, risking his own life underwater, discovering a Soviet spy living across the street, surviving when an engine ignites, critical missions, and the everyday lives of men and women of the fleet. Compiled by author Robert G. Williscroft and proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Submariner is available worldwide in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Dive into Submariner for hijinks and breathtaking adventure with this poignant memoir by a true American hero.
Ooh, Papala Skies by Stephen G. Chicago native Rochelle DuFortier likes to imagine the future. Her world, a series of picture postcards so vivid they sometimes seem real. When a foolish mistake at 13 causes her mother's death, she's sent to a secluded Hawaiian valley. An outsider howley girl among pigeon-speaking boys who hurl flaming Papala spears under the full moon to summon her mother's spirit. After boarding school in a prestigious university back east, the ambitious young woman is torn between chasing new career opportunities discovering her mother's heritage in a remote French village, and meeting obligations pulling her back to Hawaii. On this island steeped in ancient mythology and modern superstition, Rochelle tests the possibility of sharing pieces of her life with those whose beliefs she barely understands and never intends to embrace. She dives the depths of a pristine coral lagoon, conceals bodies in a subterranean lava tube, and challenges the eruptions of a living volcano, even as she deciphers the truth about her mother's death and struggles to satisfy new debts born of old betrayals. Papala Skies is the story of a young woman who makes all the right choices, only to find herself living an unexpected life. It is about the need to belong and seeking one's own version of truth amid such differing cultures' responses to wrenching loss and abiding grief. It is about yearning for a sense of place, yet having to confront new ways to honor the love of family and friends. Will Rochelle lose what matters most? Or might she learn what the smart octopus already knows? Papala Skies by Stephen Gies. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, I've read that book. I like that one.
That's my favorite book. Yeah. That was
wild. All right, we're talking to author Vincent Panettiere. He's got a nonfiction book out. Let me get the name here. It's called, I just had it in front of me, The Internet Financing Illusion. And then he's got novels out, Music of Women, An Erotic Stream of Consciousness, A Woman to Blame, The Scopus Factor, Shared Sorrows, and These Thy Gifts. And one of his characters in two books so far, and in a third one in progress, is Detective Mike Hegan. It's been fun talking to you, Vincent. Why don't you tell our readers how they can contact you, find you, follow you? Do you have any handles, website, blog? Where are you out there?
Yeah, I have. Well, I'm on Twitter. Does that help anybody? I don't know.
Yeah.
They can, it's whatever it is, hashtag Kid, KIDBKLYN, Kid Brooklyn, but BKLYN.
So is that your handle then also, at Kid Brooklyn?
At Kid Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay.
They can get me that way. Now, the website, I haven't been on there in a while. I'm just going to check. If there's a way
While you're checking that, you're also on Instagram, is that right?
On Instagram, yes.
Is that also at Kid Brooklyn?
That's Twitter, or whatever it's called. And I have, I'm just looking. On my website, there is, yeah, there's an email. You can contact me just putting in your name, address,
what,
and email.
What's the name of the website? How do people find the website?
Called www.vincent, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, Panettiere, P-A-N-E-T-T-I-E-R-E, all lowercase, .com, and / contact.
Okay. And do you want to tell your email address as well?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's such a terrible to do it. It's vpane13@gmail.com.
All right. Well, we've enjoyed talking to you, Vincent, and we appreciate everybody's participation on Twitter/X as well. Beam, we're looking forward to old friend Verwaine Greenhoe being on the show next week. That should be fun, huh?
Yeah, it's always a good time to have when we have Verwaine come on the show, and he's going to talk about some interesting things. I might even touch on a little bit about what's going on with Vela these days. And after that, we've got a guy that neither one of us know much about, Caleb Palmquist, and we're going to learn about him as the audience is learning about him, and it should still be a good time because that's the fun part, is when this author comes in and we don't know anything about him, but we learn a lot of really cool stuff, and we get a new friend out of the deal. So Caleb Palmquist.
Yeah, and the week after that, another author we're not familiar with yet, and that's Peter Crowley. So we're going to learn more about him. But then after that, we've got somebody we've known for a long time.
Yes, the return of Marcia Fox. I believe this is actually going to be her third time on the show.
So
tune in for that. She's got some really cool stuff to talk about. She's got a new book out about the history of eclipses and things like that. And she's coming in on the heels of the eclipse that's going to be here next month. So tune in for that. She's going to have a lot of really cool stuff to talk about. And
yeah,
this will
be a rare example in the United States anywhere, where pretty much the whole country will be able to see the full eclipse. And I believe that's April 8th. So get out there, take notes, look at that eclipse, and then listen to Marcia Fox the following week, and she'll tell you what you didn't understand. But after Marcia, later on, and I believe this is April or May, we've got Colleen M. Story scheduled as well, too, and we're looking forward to learning more about her.
Yeah, and we do have others lined up. They're just not booked yet, but they're coming in. So get subscribed to the newsletter and find out who these people are.
Yeah. So thanks for being on the show, Vincent.
Thank you, Vincent.
Keep us informed when your next book comes out. We'll mention it in our newsletter.
I hope I finish it, but I'll let you know. Okay.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.